A thrilling night of Champions League football saw four more teams dramatically book their places in the last 16 with two group games to spare. Three of the competition's most storied clubs will be present in the first knockout round once again. Real Madrid, Bayern and Inter secured their progression with impressive wins. They'll be joined by Real Sociedad, a night of celebration in San Sebastian as they made it through amid wonderful scenes at Reala Arena. We will review it all over the next 30 minutes or so. I'm Chris Parrott, joined by the European football expert Kevin Hatchard tonight. Normally at this stage of recording, all the matches are over. One is still going on between Copenhagen and Manchester United, and we'll keep you up to date with quite an extraordinary night as that develops. Manchester City and Leipzig, Kev, through on Tuesday. But we now know six of the last 16 already, and with four wins from four, Madrid and Bayern. Those two great clubs of this competition lead the way again in 2023.
And they look like teams that could win the trophy. And there's no surprise in that. But, you know, they are teams that make this kind of consistency look routine. And that is not an easy thing to do. Real Madrid, I think, have shown that, you know, even without Jude Bellingham, they can cause problems. And Bayern, with Harry Kane powering that incredible attack. Oh, I mean, they are well over 50 goals in all competitions. We're in early November.
And he's almost hit 20 already. There's going to be some records broken in Bavaria, I am sure. So, Wednesday's seven results, plus the one latest game. In Group A, Bayern 2, Galatasaray 1. Copenhagen 4, Manchester United 3 latest into the first of five added minutes. There were 13 in the first half. A lot has happened at Parken. Group B, Arsenal 2, Sevilla 0, PSV 1, Lens 0. Group C, Napoli 1, Union Berlin 1, Real Madrid 3, Braga 0. And in Group D, Real Sociedad 3, Benfica 1 and Salzburg 0, Inter 1. We're going to start in Group D because both teams are through in this section after a really dramatic evening. Real Sociedad are one of them. They were looking to make the first Champions League knockout stage for the first time in a very, very long time. They took on Benfica, and Alvaro Romeo watched the game alongside Matchday Live commentator Richard Kaufman.
Chipped into the area. It's going to break nicely. Munoz hits it forward and it's in. Mikel Merino right on the goal line there to head it in unmarked. Real Sociedad off to a flyer on a night where they could reach the knockout stages of the UEFA Champions League. They're already in front inside 6 minutes. Oh, there's a mistake in the back. It's 2-0. Oyarzabal has doubled the lead. Napping at the back from Benfica. And the Real Sociedad captain was ready to pounce. Found himself one-on-one with the goalkeeper, slid it past him. It's 2-0. Inside to Merino, out to the edge of the area to Barrenechea. Steps inside, woo! Shoots. Wonderful goal. Absolutely stunning from Ander Barrenechea. And they do have a third goal now. And it's taken all of 21 minutes. This is extraordinary from Real Sociedad.
Unbelievable shot by Ander Barrenechea. Impressive, really. He put the ball at the top of the net, right corner. Impossible for Trubin to save.
Cabral plays it in. Otamendi inside, and they've got to go back. Rafa Silva has given Benfica a lifeline. They worked it really nicely. Real Sociedad were absolutely magnificent. It's finished. Real Sociedad 3, Benfica 1.
Yeah, jubilant scenes at full-time. The ground was quite literally shaking. They weren't through after that win because they needed Inter to beat Salzburg in the other match in the section, which was one of the late games. They were definitely, though, onto 10 points. And at full-time, Alvaro, who is a Spanish football expert, was asked what tonight means to Real Sociedad as a club and their local boy head coach, Emmanuel Agüero.
he's going to be mad about this. He's going to be talking about this the whole week at home as well. No, believe me, because you have to watch in YouTube, if you can, how he celebrated before the press, Real Sociedad winning the Spanish Cup in 2021, how he celebrated. Well, probably today he has the reasons to celebrate as much. It was incredible, really. I stayed with the crowd singing the anthem of Real Sociedad, Churi Urdin, Maitea, which means my beloved, beloved white and blue Real Sociedad colors, because they were in total communion with the team. I think that the symbiosis over there is perfect between the stands, the players and the manager. And Imanol Alguacil is some sort of the conductor of Real Sociedad feelings and the Real Sociedad culture into the pitch as well. So he means Real Sociedad and he is Real Sociedad. Imanol Alguacil is one of the big winners of this game. And I cannot imagine any better place for him to be than Real Sociedad.
Seven homegrown players in La Real starting 11 for their decisive win against Benfica. And Real Sociedad, a team to watch as the Champions League progresses. They'll be in the last 16. Their midfielder, Mikel Moreno, says there is more to come, though, from La Real.
I think that's our mindset, our mentality, to approach every game with the right attitude, wanting to win every game. Doesn't matter if we play against Inter or a top club like Benfica. All we want to do is win. And obviously we have the biggest respect for every opponent, but at the same time we are confident in our capabilities and in our capacities. So yes, you can expect a hungry team that wants to win every ball.
So Real Sociedad through, Inter through as well, courtesy of Lautaro Martinez's late penalty. So that is Group D. Group A, the final match of Match Day 4, has just finished. The noise in the background is Parken in Copenhagen. They have gone potty because they've just won a 7-goal thriller against Manchester United. And having seen a penalty saved so late at Old Trafford to deny them a point on Match Day 3. They've struck late against the English side on Match Day 4 to really give themselves a massive chance of qualification, having won the game by 4-3, Kevin Hatchard.
Sensational performance.
Sum up that in 20 seconds.
Well, I think just showed incredible belief. And we said before the game, actually, Chris, you look at their home record in the Champions League, it is extraordinarily good for a team that doesn't regularly qualify for the knockout phase of European competitions. They are a really tough team to shift on their own patch. And to go 2-0 down, yes, the red card obviously swings things in their favour to an extent, but to have the quality, the belief, the temperament to actually be able to come back and win that game is remarkable. And for a young player like Bargi to score in the way that he did, I thought was sensational. So many players would have, with that bouncing ball, ballooned it over the bar. And he didn't. He knew exactly what he had to do. He had to stay over the top of the ball and bounce it into the net. I thought that was a fabulous performance.
Yeah, the final chapter of an incredible story. Tale of the tape, Rasmus Højlund on his return to Copenhagen put Manchester United 2-0 up. He's now got 5 goals in 4 Champions League games. That's the best ever start for a Manchester United player in this competition. Then came the red card, checked by VAR for Marcus Rashford. 2 goals, one in the 9th minute of added on time by Diogo Gonçalves, a penalty, drew Copenhagen level at half-time, 2-2. Bruno Fernandes, 21 minutes from time, scores a penalty to put 10-man Manchester United 3-2 up. And then those 2 late goals won it for Copenhagen in this section, which is now very, very interesting, Group A. And we thought it might be a thriller, and I think this is going to go all the way to Match Day 6. What we do know is that 6-time winners Bayern, as we've mentioned, are through already. 12 points from 12. They took on Galatasaray at the Fußball Arena München. And Jonathan Beck watched this one for Match Day Live.
Kimmich sprays a lovely pass wide to the right-hand side and came into the post. Beautiful cross, two missed it. Harry Kane sliding in off the upright. Bayern free kick, 11 to go. Kimmich over it, right for the delivery. Harry Kane's header. Harry Kane has broken the deadlock. It just had to be him. And once again, it is Harry Kane who does the business. His 18th goal of a remarkable first season in Germany. his 24th in the Champions League. Bayern are now going through in style if it stays this way. They lead by a goal to nil. Can Bayern secure the victory? Müller, central. Lovely little cross to Kane from the left-hand side. And now they have wrapped it up. It's two more for Harry Kane. Bayern works it one way, then the other. The cross from the left from Matthijs Tel is touched in at the far post by Harry Kane. 4 minutes to go. It's Bayern 2, Galatasaray 0. The German champions heading into the knockout stages with victory. Oh, that's a lovely ball forward. Taken in his stride and finished. And Galatasaray have got one back. It's the substitute, Cedric Bakambu. A long ball out from the back, chased down the right-hand side of the area, an angled shot across Neuer and into the corner, and maybe this game isn't over. Bayern 2, Galatasaray 1. There's full time, and Bayern are through. They're into the knockout stages after a 2-1 victory over Galatasaray, who gave it everything at the end. Couldn't get that equalising goal. Bayern win by 2-1.
Four wins from four for Thomas Tuchel and his team. More than enough in the end to go through. Jonathan joins myself and Kevin Hatchard now. They just needed to avoid defeat, Jonathan, but in the end, all 3 points. Again, though, found Galatasaray very tough going.
Yeah, they lasted a little longer as well. Their coach, Okan Buruk, said they would do. They had to keep that intensity a little longer. In the end, Kane made the difference. He started the second move for the second goal that ultimately proved decisive, and then he touched in it at the far post. But Galatasaray, two defeats all season. Both of them have come to Bayern home and away. They've been pretty imperious in the Turkish Super League, so it's not easy to beat them, and they've shown why. They've got real strength in depth. They've got the intensity to play the way that Buruk wants them to. They were physical, they were competitive. There was an edge to it. Buruk himself got a yellow card on the hour, and he was very, very vociferous at the end, felt there should have been more stoppage time, but in the end, they just couldn't do enough. They had the moments, late free kicks, Bakambu's late, late goal, a long ball out from the back from Oliveira, and then touched across the face of Manuel Neuer. But Bayern just had enough. They had the quality, the experience to see the game out, and once again, they're on course to win all six group games. They did it for the third time in their history last season, the first side to do that in the Champions League era. They could do it again.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually, Jonathan. We've mentioned him. We will talk more about Harry Kane, though, and we can hear from him. He says that Bayern changed their approach to Galatasaray after what happened 2 weeks ago on match day three.
We tried a different approach in terms of dropping Jamal into kind of the midfield to almost play a 7-3-6 with our keeper in the build-up play. They still defended pretty well, but we knew on the quick transitions that we could hurt them, and that's what we've done. Obviously, unfortunately, Jamal come off injured. Hopefully, it's not too bad. But then Thomas come on, and just kind of kept the level high, and we got into the good areas. We just lacked the final pass or the final finish, and we improved on that in the second half. It took time, it took patience. They created some good chances as well, but overall, I think we deserve to win, and obviously, really happy that we've qualified.
Really insightful, that from Kane, actually, on the tactics of Thomas Tuchel. That is the only negative, I guess, is the fact that Musiala came off. He's a huge player for Bayern, and hopefully that won't be anything serious. But how Harry Kane has fitted in. I mean, you heard it there, I think, Kev, and Thomas Tuchel's mentioned it, other players have mentioned it. He sounds like a leader already.
Yes.
And that wasn't guaranteed, right? We know Harry Kane is a sensational player, but he was moving to one of the biggest clubs in world football.
New country, new language, new league, you know, no guarantee of anything really. And what he's done is not only has he scored all the goals, which you could have anticipated he would score goals, maybe not in this volume, but we knew he was going to perform. What we didn't know was how he was going to embrace the adventure of the whole thing. And that's what it's really felt like for him. I think he's really settled into the hierarchy very quickly. Him and Thomas Müller have struck up this friendship, which I think really helps, because Müller is very much somebody who still has a huge amount of respect at that football club. And I think leader is absolutely it, Chris. And I think, you know, I was there on Saturday in Dortmund to watch him score that hat-trick in Der Klassiker. There is a surety about him in front of goal. And there aren't many players like that who, when you get the ball to them, a few metres out, you just know they're going to score. It's not even a doubt. And the way he's playing, he's just the absolute spearhead of that team. And I actually think Bayern can get even better. I think they've got more gears they can go up. But at the moment, the gear they're in is pretty good.
It is. And they're looking down on the rest of Group A. We brought you the full-time whistle at Parken after that 4-3 win for Copenhagen. Much of the stadium is still full now. Copenhagen have done a lap of honour to celebrate with their supporters. And this is why, bring back in Jonathan. Group A, Bayern 12 points through. They've won the section. They haven't just qualified. They've won the section with two games to spare. Then Copenhagen on 4 points. Galatasaray on 4 points. Manchester United on 3 points, Jonathan. I mean, it is going to be... It is definitely going to go to match day six, and we can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, there's a brilliant fight behind them going on. Of course, Bayern are going to have a say in it. They may be through already. Their next game is back in Munich. It's against FC Copenhagen, so that's going to be key. Manchester United will be keeping one eye on that as they try and do the business against Galatasaray, who beat them, let's not forget, in Manchester. Manchester United, the last team to beat Bayern in the group stage at home back in December 2013. So there's a little bit of synchronicity there, a little bit of history between these sides. And, well, I just think it's what it's... We've seen so many groups. You know, this one decided early in terms of the winner, but the battle behind them is going to be so entertaining.
It certainly is. And we will bring you all that happens in Group A on Match Day 5 and Match Day 6 still to come. We're going to look at Wednesday's other four matches in the world's greatest club competition.
Take UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
OK, on to Group B, and we can head to London. Arsenal hosted Sevilla, and hear how's that match unfolded. Kevin Hatchard was on commentary alongside Guy Havard.
This is Bukayo Saka inside the penalty area, and Arsenal have the breakthrough through Trossard. Celebrations, no great surprise that Saka is at the heart of it. He was released down the right-hand side, a quick ball into the danger zone. And Leandro Trossard, the only change on the night for Arsenal, gets his second Champions League goal of the season. It has been coming, and the Gunners deservedly ahead against Sevilla by a goal to nil. Inside the penalty area, turns onto his left foot, Saka! 2-0, an assist and now a goal for one of England's finest players, just 22 years of age. But he gets better and better with each passing season. Arsenal 2, Sevilla 0.
Well, Guy joins myself, Kevin and Jonathan. Now, it was really impressive from Arsenal. 7 years away before this season, that felt like a really seasoned professional performance from them.
Yes, it did, and they were impressive, weren't they, against PSV in their first game in the group on match day one. They are a team that's very strong at home, and I felt the fact that Saka and Martinelli looked at their real best. They were just outstanding every time they got the ball, particularly in the first half. They were causing mayhem for Sevilla, and, you know, we touched upon it. They're two of the best players in Europe at the moment, just 22 years of age, both of them. Arsenal have them on long-term contracts, which is good news because they're going to get better and better. And Arsenal, yeah, they won 2-0. It could have been more. I think the worries will be, you know, Saka went off with an injury. Arsenal do have an injury list that's lengthening a little bit. No Odegaard again tonight, and Nketiah, the latest to be added to it. But on the positive side, you know, that's 9 points now. I know they didn't qualify tonight, but they're virtually there. I don't think too many people are talking about them winning it at the moment, but it's a team that pushed Manchester City and may have should have won the Premier League last year. Some will argue that Manchester City won the Champions League. So in terms of racing form, they're not too far behind the actual champions of last year. Fans may say that they might need additions, that the injuries will be a worry, the depth of squad, maybe they need more players to fight on both fronts, because, you know, the obsession of the Premier League is the same as the Champions League. They've never won this competition. But I think, you know, for a reintroduction to the highest level of football, it couldn't have gone much smoother.
It's a long list of positives. I mean, you look at Saka and Martinelli, I compared them to Arjen Robben and Frank Ribery in commentary. Because, you know, they're not at that level yet, but it feels like they're on their way. And the reason those guys were so effective for Bayern München was that, you know, you couldn't just focus on one player, because they just attack you constantly. And if it wasn't working on one side, Bayern would just overload the other. And I feel like Arsenal can do that with Martinelli and Saka. But the other major positive was Declan Rice. I thought he was absolutely sensational. And he was sensational in third gear. You know, he was able to win the ball really comfortably in midfield, but also drive forward. He's got such an awareness of where he needs to be, when he needs to carry it, when he needs to pass it. Super player. And I think, just finally, I think we talk about the fact they haven't been in the UEFA Champions League for a long time. You look at Sevilla's team selection and you look at Sevilla's approach, that smacked of respect to me. And they are being respected and viewed like a seasoned UEFA Champions League team.
Yeah, and it really, watching them, it felt like they were. If you didn't know where they'd been for the last 7 years or so, I think you probably would have thought that they were. We can hear from one of Arsenal's goal scorers now, Leandro Trossard.
That's why you play football for nights like this. The crowd has been incredible. We wanted to give something back to the fans today, and I think we did it. We played so well. We created a lot and didn't give away a lot. So, yeah, it's a perfect night for us.
Well, every one of his goals this season has been assisted by Bukayo Saka. So they are certainly on the same wavelength, even if there was no Nketiah. Gabriel Jesus as well, Leandro Trossard, started and scored, and no surprise, their coach Mikel Arteta was a happy man after this game.
They are really dangerous when you let them get set in your own half, and they start to put crosses in the box. They are a really dangerous team, and I think we allowed one shot in the 94th or 95th minute, so really difficult in Europe to control the game like we've done, to score the goals that we scored, and we're in a good position.
Well, they could have gone through with a win, but that would have required another result going their way, Arsenal. That didn't happen. Certainly did from a PSV perspective. Their first group stage win since December 2015. For the 1988 winners, it came thanks to that man, Luc de Jong, with a header, beating Lens 1-0 in the rain in Eindhoven. And that, you could see the celebrations at full time, what that meant to PSV.
If you asked a supercomputer, can you show me a Luc de Jong goal?
Yeah.
I think that's what it would show you. I mean, this is a PSV team that's won every single game it's played in the Eredivisie. All 11. I mean, that's remarkable in itself. We've seen Peter Bosz do this before, start really, really well in club jobs. Now it's about seeing it through, but there's every indication that they will do that. It's great to see them competitive at this level. And I think that group is fascinating now, because Arsenal have been the strongest team. Now it's about the scramble for second, I believe.
Yeah, they're not quite there, Arsenal guy, but almost a little bit like Bayern, looking down on everyone in their section. Behind Arsenal, all three teams with a genuine chance of progression, with two group games to go.
Yeah, they're going to be live matches, aren't they? It's intriguing. Sevilla at bottom of the table at 2 points at the moment, and Lens, who of course beat Arsenal, the only team to stop Arsenal so far, they come to the Arsenal Stadium, and Arsenal will want to avenge that defeat. They weren't bad, I didn't think, in France, but on another night they might have got a point there, but they were a little bit sloppy at times, so they will want to put it to bed with the game still to go. They can maybe just sort of rest one or two players, because it's a busy time for them going up to Christmas in the Premier League. But I think, you know, generally you would fancy them sort of sorting this group out, and they'll want to go as top of the group as well, so they want to do that as well. But I mean, at the moment there's no suggestion that won't happen.
It's going to be absolutely fascinating. The final group we haven't mentioned is Group C. It's the one where Real Madrid have very comfortably made it through, beating Braga 3-0. But it might have been problematic had Braga not seen an early penalty saved. And it's been something about the goalkeepers in this season's group stage, but it wasn't Kepa who faced the shot.
No, it wasn't. It was supposed to be, but he was injured in the build-up. And Andre Lunin, who's been on the books a while now and has only had really sporadic chances. Of course, when Thibaut Courtois is your main opposition, you haven't got much chance of playing games. And obviously, when Courtois got his serious injury, Kepa was brought in as cover and has largely done very well. But really nice moment in the sun for Lunin, and they have so much firepower, Chris. I mean, when I think of teams that can really stand up to Manchester City in the competition, they're the first name I come to, because I always love teams who can hurt you in lots of different ways and aren't reliant on one source. I think Bayern have that. You know, a lot of focus is on Kane, but Sané can get you, Musiala can get you, Coman, Gnabry, loads of ways that they can damage teams. Real Madrid have that absolutely as well. Rodrigo, I love. I think every time he steps up in the Champions League, he's so cool in front of goal. He plays like he's 35. And I think that's the thing they have, actually. Real Madrid do need to be commended for the way they've put together a very, very mature group of young players. Bellingham has that maturity. Vinicius has that maturity. Valverde, the way he approaches it. So you've got all of this institutional knowledge in the building, like Modric, like Kroos, and like all those guys.
Ancelotti,
yeah. And then you've got all these young guys who actually act as if they've got it as well. So it's a really potent mix. And like I said, with Bayern earlier, I think there are three more gears to go.
Brahim Diaz opened the scoring, Vinicius Jr. and Rodrigo in the second half. Real Madrid through. Napoli are almost through. Well, I say that actually, a brilliant comeback for Union Berlin. Napoli took the lead, looked like they were going to win it, but Union were very competitive on this run of defeats, but showed all of that collective spirit that has brought them to this stage. Got their first ever away point in the Champions League, and a very fine result for the German side in Naples.
Massive performance and massive result because, well, on the most basic level, Chris, it ends a 12-match losing run in all competitions. So that will just allow that noise to die down a bit. I love the way the club has come together in adversity. I love the way Urs Fischer, the coach, has been backed, not only by the club, but by the fans as well. And quite right, too. A few years ago, they were in the second tier. They'd never been in the Bundesliga. And he's not only got them in the top flight, they qualify for Europe, three straight seasons. I mean, that's wild that they've been able to do that. This was always going to be tough, being in the UEFA Champions League for the first time, but I think it's just a really morale-boosting point. Napoli will be fine.
And Union Berlin and Braga, potentially that third place, even if they can't finish in the top two, is there for the Europa League. So Real Madrid through, 12 points out of 12 in Group C. Then come Napoli on 7 points, Braga on 3, and Union Berlin on 1. Quite a night. Final thoughts from the team. Guy, I'll start with you. Your moment of the evening.
Do you know what? I think my moment of the evening is watching the celebrations at the Parken. You know, we're able to see that on a monitor. I enjoyed what happened at the Arsenal Stadium, and I love watching Saka and Martinelli at their very best. And I agree with Kev that Declan Rice is just going up, you know, in my estimation, I think everybody's estimation. But the celebrations at the park and that fantastic feeling that you get with the Champions League, a special, special night. And for those supporters, that will live with them forever. And they were there, as you said, 10, 15, 20 minutes after the full-time whistle, players going into the crowd. It just felt epic.
For me, very simple. Real Sociedad getting that win against Benfica and going through to the last 16. Brilliant football club with the way they've approached everything. I'm so, so pleased for them.
Yeah, I love the first 20 minutes of that game. They could have been 5-0 up at halftime, Real Sociedad. And the Parken celebrations, Copenhagen ahead for the first time with that fourth goal was amazing. I also like PSV, Luke de Jong, finally giving PSV that elusive first Champions League win in such a long time. And that group still very much alive behind Arsenal.
Certainly is. Match day five is going to be good. We have our first six teams into the last 16 this week, though. The Champions League returns Tuesday, the 28th of November. Join us from 6 p.m. CET. But from everyone on the panel and behind the scenes, it has been a wonderful week of Champions League football. Thanks for joining us on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.